Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had an incredibly awesome, safe weekend. Lots of stuff going on as always. I had another great customer come in today, drove all the way down from Jacksonville to see us, Mr. Scott, and he got to talk to us for a little bit. We got to meet him, which was awesome. And yeah, it's always great seeing the customers and meeting everybody as always. Really, really good time, Dad. And how are you doing today?
Austin, I'm blessed, completely and totally blessed. But I need you guys to pray for somebody. I've got a friend of mine right now who's basically in the hospital. He's a doctor, and he's the one that I use here locally. And he had a massive heart attack on Saturday night. It's his second one in 5 years. And he's not in good shape. And so we need to pray for him. They're trying to get his oxygen levels up high enough so they can try to do what they need to do with him. So we need to pray. His name is Todd. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come before your throne of grace and of mercy and of favor, and I ask you to be with Todd. I ask you to help him, direct him, direct God to doctors, and do whatever needs to be done from an intervention standpoint, Lord, to get his heart and this ticker thing working right again, Father. I thank you in advance. He's completely and totally healed, and he's 100% recovered, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. So I want to start off the show with that. Plus, the other thing I want you guys to do, let me know. You guys are listening today. I got a new microphone for the show, and I want to make sure this microphone sounds better than the other microphone sounded, so I want to make sure that you guys like this one before I decide if I'm going to keep it or not. So, guys, just let me know. You guys, I have a lot of you have my email address. Call me up or text me or email me and let me know if this microphone is like years, light years better than the old microphone, and if it is, I will keep it. Thank you so much. Austin, what's your first story?
Absolutely. Well, this is pretty wild now. As we know that something needs to change out in Chicago, there's no question about that with what we've seen with the deaths and shootings and everything else. We obviously know that the gun laws and the gun restrictions have obviously not worked either. However, I guess enough people have had so much of it now that thousands upon thousands of protesters literally shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway on Saturday in Chicago, basically demanding common sense gun laws, better community resources, and a better economic development. That protesters began pouring onto the freeway at approximately 10:20 a.m., carrying banners and shouting, "Shut it down." Illinois' Governor Bruce Rauner lashed out at the protesters, saying, "This is unacceptable. We have clear parameters that allow protesters to be heard while respecting law and order. Instead, they have chose to do chaos." The thing about this is that a lot of people are becoming sick and tired of the gun violence and issue that's in Chicago. The issue at hand, though, isn't just the guns, because we know for a fact Chicago has incredibly strict gun laws, and now they've seen that a lot of the guns that are coming into Chicago, of course, are just coming from other states. But the issue that we really have to look at as well is the overall social culture that has been bred as far as in Chicago for the last 30 to 40 years now, and looking at the gang culture that is glorified now through media and through the music industry, looking at basically the absentee father as far as a lot of the issue in that area, and also looking at just the overall attitude and just morals and values of a city like that, that basically has stooped to a level to where everybody pretty much just shoots everybody on a regular basis. So things do need to change in Chicago. There's no question about that. And what the Democrats have done literally for over, I think the last, they've been in office there, I think for 84 years now, it says. Chicago's had 84 years of Democratic leadership. Obviously, it's not working. Obviously, certain things need to change. But these guys basically went and shut down the entire expressway on Saturday, which is completely illegal to do. And a lot of them were not just demanding gun laws, but demanding a lot of other aspects of things that need to change in the city. So I found that very interesting, Dad, that they're starting to get fed up of what's going on over there in Illinois.
Well, like I told you, my buddy Mancow, who lives up in Chicago, who was a top radio talk show host for years and about probably going to be back on radio again pretty quick, he told me that he's driven to work and has seen dead bodies laying out in the middle of the interstate, just laying there. I mean, no ambulance, just dead bodies. And, I mean, that's bad. I mean, when you have a situation in which people see dead bodies, we're dealing, like, with third-world countries. I remember a few years ago, I was in Panama, and I remember some guy had gotten hit on a motorcycle. And he was just laying out in the road. I mean, it was awful. And the police were there. They just let him lay. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. But you never thought you'd see it here in the United States. But it's because of what's happened in the United States, and it's because of the lack of the clergy in the United States. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about Christianity. I'm going to talk a little bit about going to church. And I'm going to talk about why so many millennials are just really leaving religion. And it's not just politics. There are a lot of other things. And I'm going to tell you some things that they're saying in this one article, and I'm going to cover some other stuff with you today. But a couple of decades ago, when young adults began showing their dissatisfaction with organized religion by voting with their feet, it was fashionable for pundits to say it was happening because those religions weren't conservative or demanding enough. Because of the exodus was initially most pronounced among liberal mainline Protestants like Episcopalians and Presbyterians, it was easy to point out the liberalism as the root of the problem. If churches had held fast to their standards, the thinking went, they would be fine because strictness was on the masses secretly wanted. People craved firm boundaries. But now the strict churches theory is crumbling because some strict denominations are themselves charting losses. Southern Baptists have lost over 1 million people over the last decade. Meanwhile, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has seen its once enviable U.S. growth rate slow to under 1% per year. Now it's liberal pundits who are quick to point at a finger at Huffington Post headline last year's screech that the evangelicals' Christianity's big turnoff was its relentless pursuit of conservative political agenda, like with Jerry Falwell. Let's call this political alienation theory, which says the churches have waged war against lesbian, gay, bigender, transgender rights, or supported Donald Trump, are reaping the fallout. Millennials want nothing to do with them. And this is what this article is talking about. So it's saying that this religion may have caused it. They're also saying that delayed marriage and more single adults basically have prevented people from going to churches' families, that we've had fertility issues and people aren't getting as many children as they used to have, so the churches don't have as many kids, so the parents aren't going to church because they don't feel they need to because the children are not yet there. The growth of the knowns. This seems like a circular argument. The knowns are the growing because the knowns are growing, but sociological, it makes kind of sense. Some non-believers might have stayed in organized religion in previous generation just because it was socially expected and there were consequences for not joining the religious crowd. The numeric growth of knowns has removed some of these barriers so that other closeted knowns feel more comfortable in leaving Christians' religion also. So the next time someone tells you millennials are leaving religion because evangelicals are in love with Donald Trump, you can tell them that they're partly right, according to this article. Now I'm going to start back on what's going on and why evangelicals are leaving religion. This goes back to class acceptance, the KKK, and the movies that Hollywood's been putting out. Now, this is Urban Hollywood, this article's right now. I'm going to read you this. And it talks about what's happening with social acceptance and social acceptance norms in Hollywood and what they're doing. Now, there are all kinds of movies that are coming out right now. They're talking about transsexuals, bisexuals, homosexual lifestyle. I'm talking these movies are getting mainstream release dates. You know, Spike Lee bashed Donald Trump for not denouncing the KKK. I mean, it's ridiculous. Spike Lee's come out with some crazy movies this summer. And so what we have here is it's just a giant mess of what's happening in the United States because of Hollywood. Here's an article. It's called one of Spike Lee's movies, or Black Klansmen, Questions of Racism and Entrenched White Supremacy Pervade Spike Lee's Black Klansmen. The director's latest joint is based on the true story of an American detective in the 70s who infiltrated his local chapter of the KKK in Colorado. This film, to me, is a wake-up call. Remember, now, this happened 40 years ago, but it's a wake-up call to him now. As he said in the Cannes Film Festival in May, where the movie made its world premiere, I know my heart. I don't care what the critics say or anybody else. We're on the right side of history on this film. Now, I have not seen the movie. It will arrive on theaters on August the 10th. Now, what these movies do is they undermine the social fabric of the United States, the social fabric of our society. What they do, they tell you that, you know, transgenders are okay, homosexuals are okay, lesbian gay rights are okay. And what's happened here is we haven't had a counter response from the pulpit. Now, you guys know where this is going with me right now. I did it a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to preach on this right now, but we've got a bunch of pansies in the pulpit that refuse to tell the truth about what's going on in our culture. They refuse to provide the moral leadership for these children and or their parents from the pulpit. And what's happening is because of political correctness that we've been programmed now by Hollywood and by the media, we've allowed this group of people to program our culture with their political correctness. This is what's happened. We've allowed them to come in Austin and take over our homes via the TV sets, via video, via live streaming, via the movies, and we've allowed them to put their values and their norms into our society. Now, Hollywood has an atavistic hatred, a long-term deep-seated general hatred of Christians and Protestants and Catholics, hates them. This has to do with the persecution of the Jews for the past 2,000 years under Christendom, especially through the Roman Empire, especially in the early part of the medieval times in Europe. And they absolutely can't stand the people who are in charge, who've made the rules, and they want to do everything they can to completely destroy a generation. To say that the Jews don't run Hollywood is complete and total nonsense. They do. But the reality is the Jews who run Hollywood, they're not necessarily religious Jews. The vast majority of them are Jewish and basically race only. But they still hate Christianity. That's why you very rarely ever see a cross in a movie. When people pray, they don't pray in the name of Jesus on a movie. Very, very rarely, unless you watch some old movies. They don't allow Christianity to be glorified in any way. That one movie, Kingsman, that came out a few years ago, they're in a Christian, very, very conservative church, and all of a sudden they're preaching all these hate-filled messages. They got pictures of black crosses in the church. I mean, they're unbelievably racially divided and bigoted in the church. And so this is the version of Christianity that Hollywood has been allowed to paint to the people in the United States. It's this version of Christianity that has driven people out of the churches. Now, what's also happened in the churches is this. Gosh, I hate talking about this, but it's just the truth. We have a real problem with TV evangelists. And what they've done, it's like, remember back in the 80s and the 70s and, you know, in the 90s, you know, the infomercials were the big rage. I've talked about Kevin Trudeau and a lot of other people who I don't support who have had a lot of infomercials on TV who basically are promoting certain products, and the entire TV show for the 30 minutes, you turn it on, you think it's a news talk show, it turns into a giant commercial in which they're trying to sell you a book or a CD series or a product. Now, this infomercial mentality has taken over TV evangelism in many circles. And the entire show is designed specifically for one thing, for sales and for fundraising. You think, well, that's not always like that. Okay, it's not always like that. But I know a lot of these guys who do this, and they base it very, very, they have sustainable economic models they use. They actually hire firms that specifically do this for fundraising. It's like one of the things that you'll see. We have children starving in Africa. And we have pictures of little children with bloated bellies that are starving to death and looking into the camera saying, you know, please help me. And you say, well, why would they show that? Because those infomercials work. And TV evangelism and the TV evangelists have come in now, and they've pushed a lot of these agendas to the point that the people in the United States who used to go to church have had enough of it. They don't want to deal with it anymore. It's kind of like our show. Health Master sponsors the entire show. You guys support Health Masters. I don't run a commercial every 6 or 7 minutes in the show for 4 to 5 minutes. I don't run that. I don't do that. I don't do infomercials on the show. We very rarely ever take guests because most of the time they're promoting, and many times, not all the time, they're promoting their own agendas. We don't want to do that unless I really know the person and I know their agenda. Yeah, because I'm not here to bring other people on to try to influence you in a way that I don't want you guys to be influenced if I don't agree with what they're doing. So we protect you because you guys are our friends. That's why we're so clear with what we're doing. But we've got to look at the truth of what happened to Christianity. And then we have the big movement out of Australia, the Hillsong movement, and they've come into these churches now, and they've removed the crosses. They've taken out almost all talk of repentance and dedication to Christ and being born again. Many people don't even have sinner's prayers in any of these churches at all, ever. They tell you to text your decision for salvation, you know, to their church headquarters, I mean, which is ridiculous. Nobody comes forward for prayer anymore. And sure, you may be able to put people into the church by doing that and maybe build a bigger congregation with real loud music and smoke and fireworks and laser light show when they come to church. But what's the truth? How are they really being changed for the cross? How are they being changed for Jesus Christ? How are they being changed as far as how they treat their neighbors or treat their other friends when it's not Sunday morning? And this is what we've done. We haven't allowed ourselves to do this. This is why we've had this giant fall off. It's primarily Hollywood, number one. That's the fact. Hollywood is the biggest influence that we have in our culture, period. It's influenced the cultures all over the world. They know that because of the beta testing that they've done. It changes people's attitudes and visions if they watch the same thing over and over and over again, promoting a certain culture or lifestyle. That's number one. Number two, we haven't countered that by standing firm in the Word of God. We haven't done that. I've had so many people email me and say, you know, I was an atheist, or I was an agnostic, or I'd fallen away, or I'd stopped going to church, or I'd stopped reading my Bible. I started listening to your show, and your whole life is surrounded by the Bible and the Word of God, and you basically talk about it all the time like it's part of what you do throughout the day, which it is. And see, this is the difference. We've stopped teaching a Christianity that's effective. We've started teaching a Christianity, basically, that's been compromised. And guys, we can't do that. We can't do that. We need to be praying every single morning with our children. We need to have our children in church every single Sunday. If you're going to watch an occasional online service, if your children are gone or whatever, that's not a big deal. But if your church, if your children are little, they need to be at Sunday school. And I'm not talking about babies, because babies in the church get sick because of all the other sick kids in the church. I'm talking about kids. Once the kids get to be about 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age, they need to be in church every Sunday in the nursery, and you as a parent should be there basically showing them that this is the correct way to go. Now, you need to find yourself a God-believing church, a really good God-believing church who believes in Jesus Christ, who preaches the truth, who stands firm in what the Word of God says and doesn't compromise. As far as TV evangelists, be very, very careful. If the only thing they're doing is hammering money, hammering money, hammering money, hammering money, or, you know, where Jesse Duplantis did something the other day that I don't like, he asked everybody to give him enough money to buy a $57 million jet. A few months earlier, you know, Creflo Dollar wanted a $70 million jet. Guys, I don't care if they have jets. I have no problem with that. Whatever. But they don't need $60 and $70 million jets. There's a lot of jets out there you can buy for under $1 million. Believe it or not, you can buy a really nice jet for around $500,000 to $600,000. You don't have to spend $70 million on one. And the sad part about it is these guys already have jets, but they want nicer, bigger, faster, quicker jets. Now, if they have huge amounts of money laying around to buy stuff like this, my whole thing is this. Give the money to the poor. Help other churches to pay off their plant and facilities, their equipment, their basically their buildings. Do what you can to help other people to the best of your ability. You could fly in a nice plane, or you could lease a nice plane relatively inexpensively nowadays. Or you fly first class on Delta for a real cheap price. You get upgrade tickets and upgrade coupons, or even on American Airlines. You don't need to be spending $70-80 million on an airplane or asking your followers to do that. This is why so many people have gotten turned off with the church. And Austin, I could tell you story after story after story of what I've seen inside of TV evangelism, and you've heard a lot of them, but I'm not going to do it on the air because I got to mention too many names, dates, and places. The reason I mentioned Jesse Duplantis and Creflo Dollar, this just happened. And so it's just, and what I do is I get this blowback in alternative media of all of these other authors and people saying, these guys are nuts, why are these guys doing this, and all the other stuff, and then I've got to come in here and I got to pretend like it didn't just happen. I'm not doing that anymore. These guys need to realize there's certain things you need to do and not do. The whole key is this. We need to love God with all of our hearts and serve Him, for that's the sole duty of man. That's the book of Ecclesiastes says that. And we need to always glorify Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and what He did for us on the cross and with the spilling of His blood. We've got to understand. We have to understand those two things. And we've got to treat everybody like we want to be treated and walk as Christians and walk in love. And we have to get the people in the pulpit who are willing to preach those things the opportunity to preach those things without us saying, oh, by the way, he preached something I don't like. I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave now. And I'm not going to come back. And then we have to do one more thing. We've got to stop spending millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars in some cases to build these gigantic facilities in which sometimes they never get paid off. I'm going to say one more thing. I was with a guy, a preacher in Atlanta, and the guy had a huge facility. I mean, gosh, it was like a $100 million facility. I couldn't believe how big it was. And it wasn't paid for. He owed like $80 million on it. And he was stressed out over the amount of money he owed on this property, this plant and equipment he had put in. Had a huge facility though. We had like 38,000 people in attendance, 35,000 in attendance every Sunday. Then we find out later, this guy is a pedophile. He basically was taking boys in the church who were like 16 years of age and over, and basically seducing them. I mean, this is so sick I can't even talk about it, Austin. And the problem with all of this stuff, guys, is you've got to know who these people are. You know, they don't need to fly around in $70 million airplanes. Now, I don't think God has a problem if that person, if somebody donates a $70 million airplane to or something like that, but to go out and try to, you know, go in and basically ask people to pay for this type of lifestyle is wrong. And I think that's reflective on what's happened in the churches, why church attendance is down, and why people no longer take these guys seriously because they're like a bunch of clowns on TV, you know, doing infomercials. And it frustrates me. And I know I shouldn't have probably meddled today, which I did. I'm not going to apologize for it because, quite frankly, you guys needed to hear this. But this is why church attendance is down so much. It's primarily Hollywood. Secondly, it's the pastors basically not preaching the truth. And then third, basically they've gone and given themselves bad images on this TV stuff that they've been doing. Now, I'm not saying they're all like that. I've never said that. But the ones that I've worked with, the vast majority of them are like that. And I find it very, very frustrating when you get to know these guys and you find out it's not real, they're not real, and it's all about the money. And that's the other reason so many people got turned off with these guys, Austin, because they finally figured out that these guys aren't really telling the truth. Years ago, I had a customer call up. He'd see me on a national talk show, Christian show. And he wasn't a customer, but he had our 800 number. And I can't believe I'm telling you guys this. And he was calling up like every hour and telling the staff basically that the TV evangelists were crooks. And my staff didn't know what to do with him. And so finally he called again, and I said, let me talk to him. And so I said to him, he said to me, this is Dr. Ted Brewer. I saw you on TV. I said, yes, me. He goes, TV evangelists are crooks. And I said, you're absolutely right. Almost all of them are. And he goes, what'd you say? I said, you're right. Almost all of them are. I'm not going to argue with you. You're right. And the guy goes, oh. And I said, anything else you want to tell me? He goes, no, that was it. You remember that, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
You remember me doing it. And see, so guys, today Scott was in the office, and I told Scott, we were talking to him for a minute. Sharon got to meet him. I got to meet him. And I told him, I said, we are identical on the air as we are when you talk to us. He goes, I already see that. He goes, I said, we don't, this is not a game for us. This is not something that we put on the show every day from 3 to 4, and then we basically crawl into a hole somewhere, go do our own thing, and you guys never hear from us again. Can't see us, can't meet us, can't talk to us, and we go do something completely contrary to what we tell you to do. We don't do that. We practice what we preach. Our walk actually talks louder than our talks, and people need to understand that because we have been in business for 37 years doing the same thing. Now we've done the radio show now for like the last 3-4 years, and we've been the same message, same everything for all of these years. And guys, it's so important that you know that we have stability. And that's the other thing. So many of the pastors don't act like men anymore. And this is very frustrating to me and a lot of Christian guys that are pretty macho. I mean, we don't like feminine preachers. You know, unless they're female preachers and they're feminine. I'm okay with that. Whatever. But when they get in the pulpit and they act like girly men, it really bothers me. And that's the thing, that you're not going to get that from us. We just don't do that. But I'm getting off this awesome. I could babble on for an hour about this stuff. What's your next story? What do you think about what I just said?
Well, you actually made a lot of very valid points on it. And I'm going to kind of bring this to a secondary topic off to the side, but the same kind of area, because I saw this article today on Breitbart. And this has been a situation that I've gotten in arguments with people on this before, and this is a very touchy subject in the church as far as with mission work, because there's a lot of things that have to be done all over the world with missionaries. There's no question about it. I mean, it's a very, very, very important job, and spreading the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ is crucial. However, I saw an article today in Breitbart here. It says, numerous youth groups from multiple churches in the United States are now stranded in Haiti and unable to get back due to the extreme violent protest in the Caribbean island nation over fuel prices. The nonprofit My Life Speaks announced that its mission teams from the Glade Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and the Woodland Community Church in Bradenton, Florida, cannot get anywhere near the airport to evacuate the country because the roads have been fully blocked by violent protests and gangs. They also report that at least 3 people have already been killed by the protests, including police officers. The U.S. Embassy in Haiti warned Americans to shelter in place and to avoid the violent demonstrations going on in Haiti. The founder of My Life Speaks said that the groups tried to leave the airport early Saturday morning to avoid protests, but decided it was best to return back to the compound and apply, a rural area of Haiti, due to multiple roadblocks and gangs locking down the road, preventing their ability to get to the airport. Now, the thing that I have with this is why I'm bringing this up, is that there are so many places in the world, and there's so many places in the United States still, that need support and need the gospel of Christ. Haiti mission trips have been going on for decades upon decades. I know numerous people have gone down to Haiti. The issue that happens in Haiti is that it's steeped in so much voodoo and Satanism that it's very difficult to get any type of foothold of Christianity to spread in that country because of what they practice. Like 90% of the population down there actively practices some type of witchcraft when you look it up. So when you see situations like this happen, it's something, in my opinion, you know, and people say, well, you know, if they're supposed to be down here, God will protect them. Absolutely right. I fully agree with that. But on the other hand, too, going down into situations like this and constantly putting yourself in danger as a youth. Now, you remember, these aren't, you know, 30, 40-year-old adults that are saying, listen, I've been called by God. I've actively know that this is a place that I need to go, and I'm following His word. A lot of these are teenagers in youth groups that have nothing better to do during the summer, and they decide to go down on a youth mission with their youth group because the youth group decided they were going to take them to pretty much a war zone in a country that actively practices witchcraft. To me, that is slightly derelict when it comes to the youth groups and the protection and the overall wisdom of doing things as far as with your congregation, including your youth groups. There are so many other places you can go that need the gospel that are not acting like Haiti does and are not actively practicing mass amounts of witchcraft in the area. When I saw this earlier today, that it reminded me of that last Rambo film, the one that was set in Burma, where those basically missionaries were going to Burma to go preach the gospel, and of course before they even got into Burma, they were already pretty much abducted, and they were going to be killed and ransomed and everything else. And that just kind of shows you a lot of the aspects. There's a certain part of the world right now, it doesn't matter what we do, what we tell them, what we try to bring to them, they're going to try to kill you, or they're going to actively try to harm you. And to me, I just want to use this as pretty much an example. If you have kids that are in youth groups, use wisdom if they're going on youth missions. If they're going on a youth mission, that's great. I've been on them too before when I was younger. There's a lot of places you can go and really help out in youth missions and building facilities and everything else. But know where they're going and do some research and make sure that it's actually a place that A, they're probably going to be able to make a difference. B, it's going to at least be moderately safe environment. Any place you go inside the country, even outside the country, it can have dangers associated with it. But going to a place like that down there, especially as violent as it's become after the hurricanes and everything else that happened, you really need to use wisdom, or after earthquakes. And so I just want to kind of bring that up as a side note if you have kids and where they're wanting to go with youth missions and using wisdom with that in general, Dad.
Well, the reality is that these kids have a lot of other places they can go where they don't have to worry about being abducted or basically beaten to death. And I hate to sound like that, but it's true. I mean, you got to go to where you're wanted. I mean, I had a good friend of mine used to always say, I want to go where I'm celebrated, not where I'm tolerated. And he's right. He was right. And quite frankly, I mean, we have a lot of youth groups out there going places where they shouldn't be right now because they're not being celebrated. They're being tolerated. And the sad part, when you go to a place like Haiti that was completely and totally just thrown under the bus with child trafficking and lies by the Clinton Foundation, those people really dislike a lot of Americans now. I mean, the Clinton Foundation did more to damage the relationship with Haiti and the United States than any other group. I mean, they absolutely loathe the Clintons, which is probably the pretty right way of looking at the Clintons. You know, everybody who really gets to know them is either dead or ends up loathing them. I mean, it's just unbelievable what these people are involved with and how they've been involved with all the way back to Mena, Arkansas, with the importation of cocaine, all the way back into the early 80s when he was in the governorship there. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. By the way, this is an interesting story from Russia Today. Chinese HAN group chairman falls to his death after posing for a photo in France. The chairman of the embattled Chinese HNA group that owns big stakes in the Hilton Hotels and Deutsche Bank has died in France. Wang suffered, he fell 15 meters while posing for a photograph, the police said. Now, the inside scoop that I got, now whether it's true or not, I don't know, is he was killed because he was about to go into private closed testimony about Deutsche Bank and their illegal activities, and they wanted him to keep his mouth shut. I personally don't know why such a high-profile person you know, would suddenly end up dead because he can't stand close enough to a precipice without falling off of it. It doesn't make any sense, Austin. I mean, we've been all over the Grand Canyon and everywhere else, and I'm not saying people don't fall in the holes, because they do. But guys, when he's about to do a closed door session against Deutsche Bank, which is already on the ropes in Europe, I can understand why in the world he may be taken out. Merkel now is warning of a worldwide financial crisis in the event that Donald Trump starts putting import tariffs on European goods because of what it might do to the international market. So now she's out there screaming and yelling and carrying on like the war's about to come to an end, because she's thinking that, you know, she doesn't know what to do if we actually start having fair trade with other nations. And one more final note about Europe. European leaders right now, including Angela Merkel, are absolutely scared to death that the United States is going to start pulling their troops out of Europe. Right now we have approximately 60,000, I kid you not, 60,000 troops in Europe right now, including around 35,000 troops in Germany. Germany is still, after World War II, it is still in occupied territory from the United States. I mean, you guys really think that? Yeah, really, but we got 35,000 troops over there, and so we got like another 15,000 in Italy. I mean, these are the two countries that fought against the Europe, against the, you know, the world. You know, Germany and Italy were both allies, and we still have used that as an excuse to keep all of these military bases there. Quite frankly, you know, Donald Trump told us he was going to get rid of this nonsense and get these troops to come home. He has not done that, and he really, really needs to do that, Austin, as far as I'm concerned, as quickly as possible, because quite frankly, we don't need troops in all of these countries. I got that. It's just so, so important that it doesn't happen. And finally, out of Breitbart, Nolte, this is New York Times, is now calling for Godfather tactics to stop Trump's new Supreme Court nominee. The far-left New York Times editorial board is calling on the Democrats to use mafia tactics from the Godfather to stop President Trump from fulfilling a Supreme Court vacancy. Using language that appears to not only condone but to encourage violence, the editorial board writes, quote, barring some unforeseen development, the president will lock in a 5-4 conservative majority, shifting the court to the right for a generation. This is all the more reason for Democrats and progressives to take a page from the Godfather and go to the mattresses on this issue. I mean, that basically, the Urban Dictionary accurately describes the phrase going to the mattress and preparing for battle within the context of mob war, a violent mob war involving firearms, assassinations, and bombings. The anti-Trump New York Times describes this editorial as a call to arms and adds that the fire now raging against Mr. Trump and his nominees can't stand and be sustained indefinitely. I mean, you know, it's so funny. We dealt with the Gay Canyon for 8 years. 8 years. Then we had to deal with the witch of Benghazi running for the White House for 2 years, and Bill Clinton and all the crazy stuff we had to hear about those two nuts. And all of a sudden now we have a president for the past 2 years that has been elected by the will of the people, to the population, and all he has to do is basically put in a few Supreme Court justices, and if he picks the right one, he will indeed change the court to a conservative majority. And if Ginsburg decides to check out and get out of the court, he'll have another one right there. So there's a really good possibility that we can change this. We got to continue to pray for wisdom and for clarity for President Trump. The last I heard, he was announcing his pick for the Supreme Court this evening. And again, John McCain has not yet resigned, as far as anything I can find. I guess last week they were trying to clear the air some and say he was going to resign on the 4th. Obviously, that did not happen. I'm sure he wants to be involved in this final Supreme Court pick, Austin. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with that. And one thing I wanted to touch base on what I said earlier, just so everybody understands what I was referring to, and same thing you were referring to as far as with Haiti. Matthew 10:14 in the King James Bible says, whoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet, meaning leave them and don't come back, essentially. So that's one thing I wanted to add on to that before I get a bunch of emails, because everybody likes to argue with me most of the time on stuff I say on the show, and it's controversial, which is fine. I don't mind. Just wanted to add that on there. Exactly what you were going back to saying, Dad, with what we've seen now with the hatred towards Trump is unprecedented in almost any presidency we've ever seen before in history. I mean, using a reference like going to the mattresses is – pretty wild to me, because I mean, anybody that knows anything about the Godfather movies, that is mob war. That is basically blatant assassination attempts. That's the piano wire around the throat. That's waking up with a shotgun in your face. That's waking up and turning on your car and having a car bomb go off with your family in it. That's what that refers to. Basically blatant terrorism between mob or fighting gang groups. So for them to use references like that, just over the fact of Donald Trump legally having the ability to select a new Supreme Court pick boggles my mind. I mean, we're not talking about something here where he's going against the Constitution or he's breaking outside the realms of constitutional law and he's trying to do something illegal. He has a legitimate place to come in and add a new Supreme Court pick. It, just like he's required to do as the president. And these guys are having a conniption fit. Because why? It's what we talked about so many times. They're losing their handle on the mainstream media as far as being able to change the population's mindset and control what they think. Because if he does this, especially if he does a really staunch Republican, somebody that really is conservative in there, which I really hope, hopefully we'll find out tonight. You know, we'll talk about it on the show tomorrow. His first thing, I'm sure it's going to be one of the topics we talk about, and do some background on the person that he actually picks instead of just speculating. We'll actually know. So this can be a really, really big decision. And also, too, back what you said with Merkel, it's funny to me so many times how we've seen China acting like a giant crybaby, Merkel again acting like her normal self, and everybody pitching these fits all around the world, basically stating that they can't believe that they get to charge 25% import tariffs on American vehicles into their country, and we only charge them 2.5% import tariffs into our country, and we want to change it and not even make it even. That's why, not even making it even, we simply want to go in and make it more fair so we're not paying out significant amounts of money to try to bring our product into other countries when we literally have almost a dead industrial facility in this country. Now, the industrial sector it's done, so to speak. I mean, we're trying to spool it back up. We're trying to get jobs back in the United States. And if nobody else in the world can see that, or if they do see that, but they're too stinking arrogant and greedy to understand what we're trying to do, then we're going to end up having a full-blown trade war with the entire world. And if that's what happens, that's what's going to happen, because the globalists want it to happen. That's what everybody has to understand with the Rothschilds and the Federal Reserve. These guys try to pretty much put everything in their direction that they want it to go. And the issue that we've seen now is that Trump has been going in a lot of directions they don't want him to go. So they're going to try to stop him every way they can. And the easiest way to do it is to make themselves look neutral, thereby for having the mainstream media consistently attack him and barrage him all the time with fake news. The second way to do it, to make themselves look neutral again, is to call out for trade wars, to say this is something the United States can't do. They can't have these tariffs. This isn't fair. We need to be able to charge them 25%, but we don't want to pay more than 2.5% on our products. So we're going to have a giant world trade war now, and it's going to collapse Europe, and it's going to collapse the United States. That way they can blame it all on Trump, and then come back in with their global one world currency and say, see, this is what happened. Trump made a mess. He completely ruined all this stuff because he wanted to make America great again. This is what happens when America wants to be great. It ruins the whole world, and that is going to be the strategy, in my opinion, that they're going to do. That's why I've told so many people right now, be very, very cautious in the markets, because there's so much validity with everything going on right now. At any point in time, if something wants to get pulled out and the stop gets pulled out, it can very well much go the wrong direction for a lot of people, especially when you're in the electronic cash world with the stock market and everything else. Also, too, I saw this today. It was actually from July the 4th. I think Dad may have talked about it on the Hagman show, but I wanted to bring it up on our show because we do bring the topics up of Florida and reptiles on a regular basis, that a 8-year-old boy was bit by basically a water moccasin in New Smyrna Beach down here in Florida on July 4th, and they were able to rush him to the hospital. He ended up taking 18 doses of anti-venom to get himself stabilized so the venom from the snake did not kill him, and they said that usually cost a patient about $20,000 for each vial of anti-venom without insurance. But the boy is saved now. He's alive. He's doing a lot better. And they're basically releasing him from the hospital, I think, over the weekend. or yesterday, which is a blessing. And the mom said on there, she said she normally, he has his pit bull Dixie that runs around with him all the time in the backyard and out by the lake, and basically the dog was not with him. It was in the house locked up, and that's what happened. He got too close. This thing struck him and got him, and he got in the house. They were blessed and were able to get to the hospital in time. And but the good thing about dogs down here in Florida is, you know, they are very, very sensing to this stuff. They hear them. They see them before you ever get close to them. And in most cases, especially very protective dogs, they will get in between you and the snake and allow themselves to get bit before it ever gets close to you, simply so they can protect you. And a lot of times that means the dog can die. But again, you know, they are a protective species, and that's what I use R for, as a security perimeter for the family, and that's what they're really, really effective at. But that's just the reason why we tell you guys all the time, these snakes down here are not a joke in Florida. They are highly aggressive, and they're highly venomous, and you need to be very aware of them when you're dealing with them, because not just water moccasins, we also have the pit vipers, and we have rattlesnakes out here too. So those are just things to watch out and look for, and be aware of those when you're out and about in the woods, Zeb.
Well, yeah, you got your pit viper category. You got the water moccasins, you got the copperheads, and you've got the rattlesnakes down here. I remember years ago I had a friend of mine who worked for me. His name was Michael Ferry. May he rest in peace. Good man. Worked with me for many years. And he's former like a biker, like a Hell's Angel. It's a funny story. He worked with me for like, not that he's dead, because the guy really, I really like the guy, I really miss him. But it was funny. He was working for me about 2 months. One day, and we were out in a ditch digging up a sprinkler line, right? And I'm in the ditch with him, and he leans over, and his hat falls off, and his hair falls into the ditch, and his hair is like 3 feet long. Now, I didn't know he had long hair. He's like a rebel, right? He's Christian, but you know, he used to be in a biker gang, and he was a redhead, so his bright red hair falls into the ditch, and I'd never seen it, because it was always coiled up inside of his hat. And he looked at me, and he goes, "Is that going to be a problem?" And I said, "What?" He said, "My hair." I said, "It's a problem for you, but it's not a problem for me, man. You have to wash it now. What a mess." I could care less how long your hair is. I said, "As long as you do the job for me, and you know, I don't care what your hair looks like, but you're the one's got to take care of it." And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, "You mean you're not going to be mad that I have long hair?" I said, "Why do I care if you have long hair?" It was so funny, awesome. Within a week, he had donated that stuff to Locks of Love, and he told me. I said, "Why did you cut your hair off?" And he goes, "Well, really wasn't being rebellious anymore because you didn't care." I started laughing at him, but yeah. I said, "Whatever, man. I don't care what your hair looks like. You got to take care of it." But I thought about Mike, because you're talking about the pit vipers. And I remember one day he was here, and he called me over, and he had a big pair of work boots on. They were like, you know, halfway up his calf, and he had stepped on a water moccasin female. And I'll never forget this. And she was a dark, dark, dark green. I didn't know they were dark, dark, dark green. And she had a nest somewhere close to the back of the house, because we lived, you know, on a lake, and that thing was striking him. I mean, it was, it had the fangs were out, and it was going over and over again, hitting him with the fangs, super, super, super aggressive. And so I quickly grabbed the shovel and cut his head off. And I thought, my goodness, this is just absolutely nuts, because he didn't want to get up. He says, "Go get me a shovel or whatever," and I said, "I'll take care of it." And I cut his head off. I've killed hundreds of those things over the last 50, 60 years. And it's just that these things are really aggressive down here. By the way, let me give you some of the real numbers here. I just pulled this article back up from the Independent UK. 60,000 U.S. troops are stationed in Europe, including 35,000 in Germany, 12,000 in Italy, 8,500 in Great Britain, 3,300 in Spain. They also form large swaths of the 8,000 NATO troops in countries on Russia's border, including Poland and the Baltic states. But the Pentagon is already reviewing the possible impact of reducing these numbers, with specific focus on Germany, according to a previous Washington Post report. Let me give you an example of what happens. When you have these huge military bases and they suddenly close down, all the support structure around that military base in that community basically gets shut down. In other words, the garbage pickup gets shut down, the utilities get shut down, the building maintenance gets shut down, and a lot of local utility companies and local service places are basically really, really affected when they start shutting down large, large military bases, especially in Germany and overseas. We had a family member over there named Schulten, S-H-U-L-T-O-N, I think. I'm probably S-H-U-T-D-E-N, I think, but I'm not spelling it right. But anyhow, he was a he worked for the military bases, and that was in a close town to ours called Hanover, and he ended up being like the primary garbage pickup and sewage pickup and all that kind of stuff, as far as pumping the sewage tanks and all that kind of stuff. And they kept him busy, and he became very wealthy doing that. And then suddenly the whole thing got shut down. They shut the whole base down, And when it happened, not only did my relatives end up basically going broke, but they also ended up, you know, losing all those contracts, and a lot of other people did too. So that's why these European leaders, they've been basically addicted to this large amount of American money coming in all of the time, and they simply don't want to lose that money coming in. Now, here's another article. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to cover it in a little bit more detail today. Removing children's tonsils and adenoids increases the risks for 28 different diseases, a new study has found. I've talked about this so many times. While the conventional medical establishment calls for the removal of broken or defective body parts, a watershed study on the long-term effects of tonsillectomies and adenoid removals bring into question the propriety of this surgery performed on nearly 500,000 children in the U.S. every year. 500,000 kids have their tonsils or adenoids removed every year. If you were a child born in the U.S. from 1950 to 1970, odds are that you either knew somebody or know someone that's undergone tonsillectomy or an adenoidectomy. I do. I know a bunch of them. When I was in kindergarten, you know, they were talking about doing this all of the time because it stops sinus obstructions and everything else, and polyps and everything else, and deviated septums. While incidence has gone down in recent decades, that tonsillectomies and adenoidectomies are still two of the most common surgeries performed on children. The first documented instances of tonsil and adenoid removal, the risk versus benefits of the procedures were questionable at best, but a recently released Danish study finally tipped the scales. Now, this is absolutely crazy about what's happened on this study. In June 2018, a study of over 1 million Danish children has added compelling argument against tonsillectomies being performed so casually. In a first-ever study on the long-term effects of tonsillectomies, researchers from the University of Melbourne in Australia and of Copenhagen assessed the health records of 1.2 million children from the years 79 to 99. Of the total number of children studied, 11,000 had underwent tonsillectomies, 17,000 had had their adenoids removed, and 31,000 had a combined procedure during which both tonsils and adenoids removed. No other serious health issues were present among the focus group children. The data was analyzed with these children, and it's unbelievable. It says children who had undergone these tonsillectomies were found to have a threefold increase in the risks of developing certain diseases of the upper respiratory tract, including asthma, influenza, pneumonia, cardiac bronchitis, and emphysema. Removal of the adenoids in addition to tonsils more than quadrupled the instances of developing allergies, inner ear inflammation, and sinusitis. Now, think about what I just said. Instead of the risks of these problems were either specifically increased or not specifically different in the children on whom no tonsillectomy was adequately performed, shockingly, unrelated health problems such as certain skin and eye and parasite infections were up 78% in adults who had undergone one of these surgeries as compared to adults who had not had their tonsils removed. I mean, think through this. Considering the study found a sharp increase in risk factors for more than 28 diseases, I mean, think through this. I mean, is it really worth having your child's tonsils and adenoids removed? I remember years ago, a lady I knew was going in for gallbladder surgery, which a lot of times you can fix all that without having to have your gallbladder removed. And they said, while we're in there, we're going to go ahead and take out your ovaries and take out your appendix and do it all at once. I mean, I'm like, she called me up. She said, what do you think I should do? I'm like, number one, I'd go on a gallbladder cleanse. You get those online. They work very well. Use apple juice for 3 days and then follow that with some olive oil or another type of oil to help put the gallbladder into a spasm to remove the softened stones, because the pectin and the apple juice softens the stones, so it'll go through the common bile duct and you can discharge them naturally without having your gallbladder removed. I said, or if you want to go ahead and have them castrate you, have them take your ovaries, and you're going to completely change your personality. Like, if you castrate a man, you change his personality. Your personality will be changed immediately after your hormones start to staple back out after you've basically been castrated or receive a hysterectomy. And let's not forget the appendicitis. And if we take the appendix out before there's ever been a problem with the appendix, we don't know, you know, what that's going to do to you, but we also know that's one of the primary regions in the body that helps prevent infections in the intestinal tract, and the appendix serves a very vital role, and we understand all that now. And she goes, oh. And I'm like, well, yeah. I said, it's like, remember Angelina Jolie Austin a few years ago? She decided that she needed to go ahead and have a hysterectomy because, you know, she had some hysterectomy problems with her family. Then she decided to have both her breasts removed. And then pretty soon Brad had enough of that, and he bailed out on her. I'm sure she had a complete – and don't get me wrong. I'm not holding these people up as any type of benchmark that we should all consider to be great, because everybody knows who they are, and she openly pushed all of this stuff. But guys, when you go out and you castrate somebody, because remember, when a woman and a man are being formed in the womb, the secondary sex characteristics, the ovaries become the testicles in a human being, right? The clitoris becomes the penis in a human being. And all of these things work together the way God intended them to work properly, you know, because of the hormones in the body. You start whacking these organs out that produce the estrogen and progesterone and all these different things that the ovaries produce, you're going to change somebody's personality in a really, really big way. So ladies, if you're having problems and they've got to take your uterus out, sometimes that has to happen, you know, with endometriosis or whatever. But if at all possible, tell them that you do not want the ovaries removed because of what it does to the body after that. Anything you want to add to that, Austin, about children's health?
That was excellent add up on it because, I mean, I've heard that all the time. I've talked to people, you know, when they were younger and having their tonsils removed and everything else. And, I mean, the biggest aspect of it is, guys, is A, don't allow your kids to eat really, really toxic food. A lot of products such as like Red 40, hydrogenated oil, artificial sweeteners, all the different compounds like that with the GMOs, they can cause a lot of inflammation and toxicity, which gets the tonsils swollen, which gives you the sore throat, which makes you sick all the time, which compromises the immune system. And the idea of having somebody that basically is getting sick regularly and not even discussing their diet, not even discussing their supplements, not even discussing environmental exposures that they're being exposed to, like Red 40 and, you know, Gatorade or Kool-Aid or whatever they're drinking on a regular basis, and not even looking at that and just immediately going, okay, we're going to go ahead and remove their tonsils, is lunacy to me. And it happens all the time. Like, that's it with a gallbladder. That's another one that happens all the time. So be sure if you're having health issues like that, before you start whacking out organs just for the fun of it, be sure to look, at least look and study the other natural approaches and other natural options you can do, like possibly changing your diet or doing a gallbladder fast or cutting certain high inflammatory foods out of your diet or going on a very clean diet for, you know, 8 to 12 weeks, such as, you know, like lean meats like fish and eggs that are organic with organic vegetables and organic, you know, or clean fats like olive oil, coconut oil, stuff like that, and see how your body starts to respond after 3 to 4 weeks and then accordingly go from there. But just going in and having these just, you know, random surgeries without any type of reason why, as far as except that you're having a problem with that organ, guys, that's something you always got to look at and you really got to question before you start. Remember, the organs are there for a reason. I say it all the time jokingly, but God didn't just accidentally throw organs in your body just for the heck of it. He was like, oh, well, a gallbladder, I got like 5 of those sitting up here right now. I'll just throw another one in this guy so he's got one. We'll give everybody gallbladders. How about that? We'll make it even across the board. These organs play very, very specific roles in the health aspect of your entire body, and it's really best to not remove them unless it's an extremely, very, very specific reason where it needs to get removed, Dad.
Well, I completely and totally concur. By the way, this is a funny story. London Pride. Anti-trans activists disrupt the parade by lying down in the street to protest lesbian erasure. Okay. LGBT groups condemn protesters who describe the trans movement as anti-lesbianism because they're saying now that they're no longer going to be considered lesbian and they've lost their little mark, I guess, because now everybody wants to be trans. And it's just, I got a big kick. I mean, they actually laid down in the street to stop the trans parade because the lesbians are considering themselves to be no longer held to the same standard as they used to be because now they're being a subcategory against the trans, which this whole thing is so stupid. By the way, court rules, the school can use electric shock as a punishment for special needs students. This is nuts. Bristol County, Maine, the family court judge, Catherine Field, denied a motion to stop the use of electric shock on disabled students, a form of punishment that has been controversial for years after the news of the practice first reached the public in 2013 when a video surfaced of an 18-year-old student receiving dozens of shocks because they refused to take off their jacket. This is basically Pavlovian conditioning when they shock you when you don't do right, and they basically do it for the smallest infractions. It's like having a shock collar on a dog to help train the dog. Yep. And if this is what our school system has basically degraded down into now, that we have to electroshock the students who have like autism or special needs, wow. I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, now we're going to giving. I guess we can put shock collars on them like we do dogs and train them that way. I mean, this is some sick stuff. And again, this is being caused because of the immunizations, because of the glyphosate, because of all the poison and all the food, and all the thing the globalists are doing to continue to fulfill the Jason scholars and reduce the population of the planet, because these autistic children simply don't reproduce. They don't have babies. And it's really, really sad to me. They're shocking them like animals or like a cattle prod now. Austin, blows my mind. Guys, I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for being here for us. I'm already getting emails that you guys love the new microphone. Thank you. By the way, I had to ask. And you guys are awesome. You guys are just the best. I had that privilege again of praying for you today. And so you continue to just pray for us and uplift us in your prayer. And I thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your other products from us and for being part of the family. God bless you guys. Awesome. Let you go ahead and finish the show, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, and that's one thing that a lot of people have to realize that we've seen now with these public school systems is they're indoctrination camps. That's really what they are. As sad as that is to believe, that is exactly what they have turned into, because if you think about it, tactically, from a globalist mindset, if you're trying to go in and you're trying to change generations, it's hard to change somebody that's 30, 40, 50 years old and completely change the entire direction and thought process of what they want to do, what they find okay, where they want to go. It's difficult to do. It really is. If you take somebody that's 5 years old and you continue to change them and shape them and turn them into the direction that you want them to do, by the time they're 18, 19, 20 years old, they're pretty much going to have the same ideas, the same morals, the same ethics, the same values that they wanted you to have. And that's what we've seen now too with this whole everything. Now I've heard this term thrown around a lot now, it's called gender fluid, which is the most bizarre term to me in the world now, because you're basically saying you're gender fluid. You don't identify as a gender, but you're not homosexual, you're not heterosexual, you float around, you're fluid. Whatever you feel like doing in the morning, whatever you feel like being in the morning, that's what you are. It is just straight lunacy, and this is what we've created now with allowing these guys with these indoctrination camps to completely control and dominate the way our children think. So, guys, we appreciate you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for all the happy birthday emails. I turned 30 on Saturday, if you guys didn't know that. So I'm big 30 now. I got a lot of emails from everybody. Exciting weekend. Good time. Went to go shoot a bunch. Going out again this Saturday. Going to go run and gun some more. So always enjoy doing that for the birthday weekends. And thank you guys for everything. Thank you for the just supporting Health Masters by buying your multiple from us and doing everything you can to basically take care of us, and we do everything we can for you guys to bring you the best show that we possibly can alongside the best products that we can physically manufacture. So thank you for the support. If you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. Or you can go on our website and check us out at healthmasters.com, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time is when our phones are open. So thank you for everything, guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.